What's up, TPN? It is I, Adam, with a bit of a administrative show note announcement, if you will. This is the week of TPNX, 21st, 22nd of April in Orlando, Florida at the International Airport in the Sea Terminal. This is super exciting for Matt, myself, all of our volunteers, our attendees, our airlines, our air carriers, our industry partners, the city of Orlando, the state of Florida, the United States of America, and the world writ at large. All right, maybe it's not that big, but it's a big deal anyways for us. We're super excited to host TPNX job fair, trade show, party, good times, class reunion, you name it. That's what the X stands for. We're excited to host you. We're excited to share a lot of information with you this week. And leading up to that, you are about to get inundated with podcast after podcast after podcast. We do things a little differently at TPN and at TPNX, obviously. And this is no different this week with our podcast release schedule. You're going to get a ton of them before we have TPNX. So just be ready. Get your ears open and ready to listen. We're going to have a bunch of recruiters on from a few of the legacy carriers that are going to be down there, as well as a few other individuals who are showing up for airlines and industry partners who want to share a lot of detail and data with you to give you some TPNX hints, tips, tricks, tactics, techniques, procedures to go down and crush it while you're there and have a good time and be as stress-free as possible. So this is my administrative note before you start listening to this podcast and the other ones that are going to come out. So keep your downloads on and make sure you get all those. And then something that we never ask you to do, if you could go and leave a rating for the Pilot Network podcast, 5 stars if you think we deserve it. If you don't think we deserve 5 stars, that's cool too. The more the merrier. Let's help all those pilots find TPN out there to better their career and the career of our own and all that good stuff. All right, now I'm rambling. Enjoy this podcast and all the other podcasts that are coming out this week, and we'll see you at TPNX. Hey, Network, it is I, Adam, here again with another episode of the Pilot Network podcast. Today, I am interviewing Scott Hall. Scott is the VP of Flight Ops for Avelo Air. Avelo is joining us at TPNX. They are a small startup airline that has some really unique and exciting things to offer pilots as employees and crew members. They do a lot of overnight stuff, kind of just out and back with some charter things in there. They've got some unique domiciles where they're not such big airports like Burbank, Tweed, New Haven in Southern Connecticut. So it's a couple. They're at Raleigh-Durham, which for you golf nuts out there like myself, that's a good one. And some others, and they're opening a few more airlines. They've got a few more domiciles. They've got some expansive ideas, and they're hitting up a bunch of cities. But I'm not going to go too much into that because Scott will take care of it. What I would really encourage you to do is listen all the way to the end. Scott throws out some really solid nuggets about not only Avelo, but the airline industry as well. So, and for those of you who are coming to TPNX, see you soon, 21-22 April. And for those of you not coming, you can still get your tickets at thepilotnetwork.com/TPNX. Now, on with the show. One of the things that is unique to me, Scott, and I wanted to jump right into this. Thanks for joining us and all that good stuff. But for Avelo and some of the other startups that are out there, this is so new, especially to a lot of our members. A lot of TPN guys and gals and military folk and even young regional people who don't really have much of a clue outside of what they've been doing for the last couple of years. How does one get into a position where they're at a startup airline and either in management, obviously they know how to get hired to fly the line, but to be in some that management and setting up that the airline, which sounds to me like a monumental task, not one that I'm ever prepared or ready to do. How did that journey look for you?
So I was pretty young in the late 20s, and I started an airline called Chicago Express back in Chicago Midway. And it just, a lot of it sometimes is some of the people that know you. And I had flown at Northwest Airlink at the time, and they came around and the job came up for DO at the time. And I kind of applied for it and got it. And then I moved around in other management positions. I stayed with Chicago Express for a long time, and then ASA headhunter called and said, there's an open position at ASA. And so I applied for that and got it. So in order to get into management, I think the best thing to do, obviously, is to become a captain. Because if you want to be a DO, you have to have 3 years of PIC time as a captain. And that was one of the things that you just move around in some of the different positions. And when I was at ASA, I moved people around in some of the different jobs so they could get experience in other places, because it's important for me to create leaders behind me, because I may or may not be there forever. So that's one of the biggest things is people. Brad Sheehan used to work for me at ASA as a tech writer, and I saw that he had other skills, and now he's VP of training and standards at Delta. Yeah. So, you know, you just got to move around, find some different positions, and there's always opportunities out there for those that want to get into it. I will say, you know, check airman obviously is another route to get into management, and you move up through the ranks. Chief pilots, one of the things that we instituted was a term limit on chief pilots. So you'd spend at least 3 years in the chief pilot office, and then you went back out to the line. But that allowed other people to get involved in the operation, but then it allowed other people to see a part of the operation and maybe move into training and become a sim instructor or do some other things. The biggest thing you can do with working with the FAA is just to get a kind of a big breadth of knowledge in some of the areas in training and standards and operations. And it gets more specialized as you get down towards the DO and the chief pilot position for the 119 positions.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's one of the interesting things that I find about these startup companies, like Avello, because just throwing out their first flight 20th of April, 2021, but that's not the first day they were operating. Obviously there's
right.
It takes a long time to get to that first flight passenger carrying flight. And before we jump into kind of the general recruitment questions that we're going to ask to prep folks for TPNX, I want to give them a little bit of a background. How did you get from, hey, we got this idea, to on the 28th of April, 2021, post middle of the ending of, if you want to call it that, however you look at it, COVID, how does one get from, okay, here we go, to now we're generating a revenue flight with paying passengers on board?
So there's two ways. One, you can start a certificate from ground zero, which is what I was doing out in California. And then the other one is what Avello did, is actually bought a certificate that was an operating airline called Casino Express and then Extra Airways. And then you convert that certificate over to what you want, which in this case was scheduled airline service. But there's a lot of things that go into just the manuals and all the other procedures you have to have in place. And of course, with SMS today, you have to prove to the FAA that you have a process and procedures in order to predict some of the issues and risks and mitigate those as you do as an airline. But it just takes, in startup airlines, of course, you have to be kind of a master of a lot of topics because you just don't have a lot of people. So as the airline gets bigger, then you'll fill in other positions. So you have a director of training, you have a director of standards, you have chief pilots, you have other people that do performance and stuff. And some of that at the beginning, you just got to be a little bit knowledgeable on some of that stuff just to get you off the ground, because there's so many things in order just to get the airplane to move. In Avello's case, they took that certificate and converted it over to a scheduled airline certificate and worked with the FAA to work through all the processes. And you have to prove that, you know, with the DOT and with the FAA that you're safe, legal, and are doing things in accordance with the FARs.
Yeah. I mean, those are the key issues, right? Without that kind of stuff, you're not going anywhere. And then, old, you start operating. So let's kind of dive into what Avella looks like for context for everybody out there. There's a lot of folks, I mean, who have never heard of Avella, and
I agree. Maybe,
yeah, and this might be the. Yeah, it's funny as you go through the airline world and your future in aviation, especially for all the younger pilots out there. You may think that you've got this dream job in your mind, and it may change often. I've had a lot of friends who've always been I'm going to be a corporate guy or fly for this company forever and ever and ever. And then the company closes the door, or they realize it just wasn't what they wanted anymore. And they became a part one of 21 airline guy, and they loved it. And I've seen the opposite of that too, where somebody thought, I'm going to fly for United forever and ever. I can't wait to go. And then they look, kind of peel back the layer of the onion, like, it's not what I want to do anymore. So this is one of those peeling back the layers of the onion where nobody really knows. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of folks don't know much about Avella. So just kind of run us through size of the airline, you know, the basic number that you get asked regularly.
So we have 16 airplanes right now, and we're in a little over 40 cities. We don't fly every city every day. We have 5 domiciles, and we cover Burbank for the West Coast. And then on the East Coast, we have New Haven, Connecticut, and Wilmington, Delaware, and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and Orlando. And we'll be opening another domicile in the Southeast probably in the fourth quarter of this year, and then another West Coast domicile is planned in the first quarter of next year. We have 6 airplanes that we are in finalizing agreements on. The idea is to be at 20 airplanes by the end of this year, and then 30 airplanes by the end of next year.
Okay.
The business model is, you know, flying to those places that people want to go and nonstop. So we don't do a hub system. Andrew Levy is the CEO, and his background is he was CFO at United. He started Allegiant with that group, and then also was part of ValueJet. So he has a lot of experience and knows a lot of the airline from different aspects of it. And then he's on the board of Copa Airlines, so he keeps his fingers involved in that. But Andrew and I had talked briefly when the airline was getting going back in 2020, and then it didn't work out on timing then, and then things came up here, and so I've been very excited about where we're going. And we just announced Daytona Beach and Melbourne, Florida last week, and then there's a couple more cities we'll be announcing. And then we're going to start filling in the network now. So we have 5 bases, and we'll continue to keep increasing the frequency in some bases, but we fly on the days that people want to go. So Tuesdays and Wednesdays are a little bit light for us, but the one big thing that we have is that you're home every night unless you're doing charters. Our core business is not charter flying, but we do that in order to kind of make up some of the lower months. For instance, we're flying the USFL, we're flying some of the band tours, we fly some of the corporations. And so you'll see anywhere in the Caribbean or anywhere in the United States, but you may fly to Liberia, Costa Rica, you may go to Aruba, you may go to Cancun. We have trips this month, for instance, to those places. But our core business is still the scheduled, but we do charter flying for those that want to do that.
Yeah, and being a former ACMI guy in charters, and I will tell you what, charter flying can be some coolest stuff that you've ever done. Now, there's another part of that, that it can be very tough to do. However... Yes. I would say most of my charter flying experience is pretty good. And then for my current airline, I've done some charter flying, and that's a totally different operation than what I did in my ACMI carrier days at Atlas. And some folks listening out there know exactly what I'm talking about. So as you grow, you know, just for the listener out there, you're a single type airplane company, or correct.
We have 2 versions of the 737, which is the 700 and the 800. So the 800 has 189 seats, and then the 700 has either 147 or 149, so we can match the airplane to the markets that we believe that we can fill up. Sure. um so At this point, I don't see us deviating from those two aircraft types.
Well, I mean, hey, the great workhorses, they've been around for a while, yeah. And they seem to have made some airlines a decent profit over the last 40, 50 years. So I don't see much of a reason to vary. I do have another piece on that, but that's a totally different opinion piece and why that company should start a different airplane, but that's a whole different topic.
Sure.
So size of the seniority list, how many pilots have you hired since essentially hiring began? When did hiring begin? Because again, how do you generate that first revenue flight? It's not like, okay, we hired, a captain and a co-pilot 28 days prior. They did INDOC, finished their training. They had a 737 typewriting and off they went. That's not how that works. So how did you, how many do we have on property and how did that process look like to get there?
So some of this was before I got here, but the airlines started hiring back in 2020. And then, of course, the revenue service in 2021. And then we've been hiring consistently as we add aircraft. So because we don't do overnights, we can get by with about 4.5 crews per airplane. It's kind of a good rule of thumb. But as we do lose some people that, have retired because we've hired them from Southwest or Delta or American or United as direct entry captains, and they've just kind of reached their point. We are seeing some people leave once in a while to other carriers, but at this point, we're pretty stable. We're at 150. And the class that's starting April 20th, I believe is the date, is 16. And then we'll kind of come back down into the single digits, and that's really due to aircraft deliveries. We're getting some airplanes from some other carriers, and because there's some backups in some of the 737 MAX deliveries, they want to try and hang on to their airplanes, but we're trying to take them. So yeah. There's a little bit of tugging on that, but we're still in the process of getting aircraft and adding. And so really the classes are now predicated on aircraft deliveries and trying to time that correctly. We're still hiring direct entry captains just because we have some FOs that we've hired with lower time. We're hiring restricted ATP guys. We're hiring if you have the 1500 hours and you've gone to a structured flight school. We have a program with Purdue University. We have some with Vaughan College, L3 Harris and ATP and flight. And I could name about 10 flight schools that we have agreements with that we're taking lower time pilots. The issue is, of course, you can't upgrade until you have 1,000 hours of 121 time. So I got to balance that of not getting a bunch of low time pilots and then not have anybody that can upgrade. But we're big fans of that and think that's a great opportunity for somebody to learn on a great airplane and also into the 121 environment. So we're not shy from hiring the people, if depending on what your training is or your background, with lower time. But right now we're still hiring direct entry captains and all variations of first officers that can upgrade really quickly, or those that have lower time that we're willing to wait 18 to 24 months until they can upgrade.
That's awesome. It's good to hear that with all the airlines starting to realize it, especially it's really awesome to hear these startups going, hey, you know, we knew this was, we were kind of on the leading edge of this because how else do you start a company up without having a lot of young, fresh face rolling in? And I think for me, that's really exciting to see the industry growing in that way. In fact, for those of you who heard the date 20th of April, that's a big date. That's the first, that's basically the day prior to TPNX, where I will be down in Orlando, hustling, getting all my tables and whatnot set up with Matt. Avello is going to be joining us down there. If you didn't know that already, if you didn't hear that in the intro, you heard it again here. I wanted to go into, so this is that logistical piece, Scott, that I know so many folks it's on their mind when they start to apply for jobs. And some of the younger folks out there who've only gone through this once or who have never gone through it before, what is your and Avello's timeline from that? Maybe they put in their application, they're qualified, and you give them an email or phone call to the interview, and then interview to INDOC, and then INDOC to their training date on the line, and not getting on the line, but their training date to in the simulator and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we're pretty quick compared to some of the others. I mean, one of the things I used to hate when I was coming up through is sitting in a pool forever and swimming around and not knowing what my status was. But at this point, if you meet some of the criteria that we're looking for, meaning the flight time and the background and recency of experience and stuff, you could get invited to an info session. And then out of that info session, you get scheduled usually within a week or two of for an interview. And then, depending on what time you hit in the month on that info session, you could be in the next month going to class, or if not, the following month. So it's usually pretty quick. We do interview some people that don't meet kind of the time requirements, meaning that they've gone to a structured flight school that we're in. And we say, okay, well, we want you, but we'll wait, a month or two. And we've had people that have said, I'm not going to make it till 3 or 4 months from now. Fine. We'll slot you in, based on your availability. But really, we're looking for good people and those that we think we can work with, and vice versa.
It seems to be that's the most important piece. You can teach a monkey kind of fly how to fly sometimes,
I
but
can teach anybody to fly, usually,
yeah, you can't necessarily teach and be a good person. And that's
No.
really, I've seen it over the years being military and doing some interview stuff and having having a couple of folks say things where I'm like, we need to work on this. And speak that talking about interview process and all that, it's obviously different. We don't give away any sort of proprietary information or the secret sauce for each airline. Obviously, they don't want to hand that kind of stuff out because they are looking for a certain person to be a brand ambassador. But what do you like to see in what would you say is a competitive applicant at Avelo right now, as far as maybe not necessarily direct entry captain or brand new person in between, kind of the median? I know that's a tough road to hoe right now because of road to hoe because of the giant difference you have of where you're hiring, but just kind of that median pilot that your team is looking for.
Sure. Well, I'll kind of walk through the direct entry captain. So for obviously those that have 737 experience at American, United, Delta, or Southwest, or we're interested in them, and we've been very successful with that. So they obviously have sometimes 15, 20,000 hours. So that's fine. If you're a regional captain and you have a lot of experience on the 175, and I'm not going to clarify what that means other than you have a lot of experience maybe as a captain, you can go in as a direct entry captain also into the 737. So just because you haven't flown the 737 does not mean you can't be a direct entry captain. On the FO side, I would like to see if you're going to upgrade pretty quickly, 3 or 4,000 hours under, and at least half of that is 121 time. And then you're going to, be able to maybe upgrade in 6 to 8 months if things look good, because we're constantly growing. On the other FOs, 1,500 hours or 1,000 or 750, whatever the number is, depending on the restricted ATP that you're under the program, we're not opposed to that. And that we just know you're going to be sitting for at least probably 24 months before you get 1,000 hours of 121 time based on when you start training and stuff.
That's a really good synopsis of all the avenues that people can take, especially when you are hiring at essentially almost a three-tiered system,
Yes.
captain all the way down to somebody like I'm gonna. There's a gentleman who I've met, and I hope he'll be at TPNX this year, who is very low time, low too low to get hired. Let's put it that way. However, he lives in the Orlando area, and this is something that he's doing right now of his own accord. He's paying out of pocket to go to training, no loan yet to go do one of the cadet programs or whatever, what have you, at a lot of the other airlines are offering because it involved moving his family. And he's like, I'm kind of older. I can't really go do that anymore. So I can't wait to introduce him to you and team, because this is the kind of opportunity I want a lot of people to see that, hey, there's more than one way to get this done. Over the next 24 months, 36 months, that there's not just one methodology. There's a lot of them that are out there, and you go and you got to meet these teams. You got to understand that maybe that what you thought. And we had this at TPNX last year. We had a gentleman who was dead set. American Airlines was his number one. It's where he was going to go. It's what he always wanted to do. And he walked out of there and goes, I'm going to Etchets because I just, he goes, it speaks to me. It's what I want to do. And he's been there for a year and he loves it. He's really happy with his decision. And I've heard people call him crazy and all this other stuff. And I've heard other people say right on. So again, it's the best part of this industry, right? Like everybody's, it's like being your own independent contractor. Everybody's got their own way of doing business and thinking about what's the best way to get to the end of the rainbow, 65, whatever you call it. And that's what makes it great because you choose your own adventure. So this is one of the things that we want to do at TPNX. We want to introduce Avelo to people who are out there who are not aware of it, number one. And then number two, introduce those people who we know who this might be the right fit for them going forward. Speaking of that, that's what I think of these meet and greets and networking conferences and stuff that's out there. How does that kind of stuff affect you and your team at Avelo?
So we conduct our own at times, but we will be at TPN, and I actually going to be there along with Kristen Brooks from our recruiting. So both of us are going to be there. But if things work out, and which we've done in some of the other conferences like Women in Aviation or something, and we'll interview you right on the spot, and then you'll either get a class date or you'll be put in a pool and you won't swim forever. But it really, it kind of, we're slotting you in. But I think it's very important to see face to face. One, you get to hear and ask questions from the company and say, well, this is a place I really want to come. And then vice versa, we make sure it's a good fit for both of us. It's not, you know, we don't come in with any preconceived notions or anything, but it's really good just to kind of ask questions and that is that free flow of information.
Yeah, two-way street, right? Things have changed since the mid-90s, late 90s, where it was one-way street. Nobody knew anything about anything. It was all closed door, cloak and dagger, shrouded mystery. Totally different story nowadays. Totally different story. One of the things that I think was interesting when I was reading up on Avelo and taking a look is it very, very plainly states, I believe it's in the first sentence, it says, we're here to inspire travel. And I really love that idea of the inspiration of travel. I mean, it goes after a different dynamic than some other airlines are after the business traveler or whatever. And Avelo really hits those spots where people, like you said, people want to go there. Where did the inspire travel idea kind of stem from?
So we're a VFR carrier. We are visiting friends and relatives. And so
that's awesome. I love it. Perfect. That's exactly
so
great.
Travel. Yeah. We're trying to open up places that other people may or may not be able to get to. We're also hub bypass. So, and we're giving you the ability to go nonstop at a reasonable price. And unless something's really bad, your bag usually gets on with you. It's pretty comfortable flight and seat, and we're on time. I mean, that's the biggest things is, you know, you want to get to Disney World on time, or you want to get to Myrtle Beach if you're playing golf and stuff. So at this point, for instance, we started Dubuque, Iowa. I never thought there was that many people in Dubuque that wanted to go to Disney World, and we're basically pretty packed. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Lansing, Michigan. I can name off a bunch of cities, you know, that we're surprised at how good they're doing, but we're stimulating the market and getting a lot of people to experience some different cities that they may or may not have been able to get to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the people from down in Orlando who want to fly up to see the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball team. The other way around. Yeah. Everybody, it's always about going to Disney. It's not that. It's the Lansing Lugnuts.
Well, we go to Savannah. So you can see the Savannah Bananas.
Bananas as well, yeah. They're actually, side note, they're coming to Milwaukee this year. So where I live, there's a independent minor league team called the Milwaukee Milkmen about 5 minutes from my house. And they're actually coming this year. And I believe that they've already sold that game out a long time. Oh, it's pretty cool.
The Savannah Bananas gets sold out every time. It's usually a waiting list to get on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's an interesting experience. Something to see on YouTube if you can't get there.
Yeah, I plan on going. I think my daughter will love it. She's six, and it's right up her alley. It might make baseball a little more interesting to her. But I digress. This is part of the show. We used to do this regularly with our interview guests, and the cheesiness level is very high.
Sure.
But we wanted to bring it really back around for this specific type of interview, because we're doing a lot of these interviews with the interview hiring teams, or the hiring teams that are showing up, or the recruiting teams, or whomever we get from all the companies that we can. Before TPNX, we're going to get these podcasts out as fast as we can, and it's going to be kind of front loaded. But these things are called the memory items for the Air Force guys out there. It's called Boldface. The Navy dudes, I don't know, they call them like things to remember. Who knows? It's the Navy. But these memory items are the things that we want the people, real quick hitters for our listening audience, to take away from our discussion, Scott. So number one, if there was one thing that will make a candidate stand out in your mind, or somebody that on the spot, hey, that day, we're going to get you in training as soon as you can, what would that be?
I think it's somebody that really wants to come to Avello. I mean, that's what we're looking for, that people want to make a difference. And you're going to fly some different flying. But to put that one thing on it, I mean, really, it's just a matter of is this where you want to be? And same thing for our relationship is you're going to be asked to do a little bit different things than you would, you know, doing charters and some of that stuff. But we're really looking for people that are willing to go the extra mile, get up, have no problem talking to customers, you know, briefing, being out in front of people and doing, you know, what's needed to be done to make sure the passenger is having a great experience, the customer in this case.
That could probably ring true for a lot of different companies, but yeah. I think the difference can be geared towards that smiling face and somebody who's getting ready to go and enjoy a vacation. And I will say, on numerous occasions, the pilot doesn't think they make a difference, but just especially with the kids, right?
You make a huge difference.
It's so impactful. And it's normally the kids, but it does happen with the passengers. I've had several folks who've come up who are, you know, I don't know how many millions of miles they've flown, air miles, whatever. But they are, they come up there and they want to be a little kid in the cockpit before we push back. Yeah. There. Same thing. And they want pictures to show their friends. And so just remember, it's that kid at heart, everybody out there. Sorry, I stole the thunder, but I love that idea.
It's true. I mean, the pilots have a huge impact, and that's what I'm looking for, is the people that are going to be out there and represent the brand.
So, okay. Number two, we kind of talked about recommended direct entry camp and all that stuff. So, I am a minimum low time person. What's my absolute minimum requirement, that Avello will look at me for or look at me with?
If no restricted ATP, 1500 hours.
Okay. All right, so no restricted ATP, 1,500 hours. Remember that, folks. For you restricted people, that means you got to come to TPNX, have a conversation. It's called networking, talking, see what's out there, talk, see, you know, come on. Think through the process, folks. It's what I do every single day, and then I realize that I screwed it up and I got to do it again. So, somebody is sitting there right now and they're clicking through, they're on their phone and they're clicking on Avello's website and like, hey, all right, this, you know what, this is kind of my jam. What do you want to say to them so they can be ready to start tomorrow? Like, okay, go fill out an application, send us your resume at this email. What's the fastest way that you two can connect? Aside from coming to TPNX, obviously, which is the primary way. But aside from that, let's say virtually on the digital platform, what is the fastest way they can connect with you so we can get them onboarded with Avello, and you can have a great, great member of the pilot network to fly your airplanes.
Sure. Airlineapps.com is where you fill out. But yes, if you're going to be at TPNX, that'll help us search through your resume or your application. We get a lot of applications. We take a lot of recommendations from pilots that are already here. Because obviously if we think we like them and then they are recommending somebody, that's also good. But applications, in order to just get to the top, we just sift through them, but fill out the application is the biggest thing. That's the first step.
Boom, done. Get your apps done. Airlineapps.com. Our boys over there are gonna get you processed through. So, well, Scott, I wanted to this went a little longer than I had expected, which is always a good thing. A little more content, people They're going to listen to it on 1.5 or 1.2 and a quarter speed anyway.
I hope they listen to the whole thing.
They will. It'll go by fast. They will. So, and for those of out there that are listening to the whole thing, where can folks find out more about Avello and get in touch with your recruiting team?
So, AvelloAir.com, there's a careers page, and then there's a pilot section that you can, and we're in the process of uploading and refreshing our recruiting page just for pilots. That'll be up here shortly, but that's one way. Of course, Airline Pilot Central seems to be a lot of people go to, and you can see our pay scales and some of the other benefits and stuff that we have. But you know, we're $105 an hour starting out for first officers, and you get $1,800 for commuting expense. And we don't care if you live in base or not; that's your money. That's not me to decide whether you're commuting or not, but that is given there. And then on reserve, you're probably going to sit maybe a couple months, and that's about it, because we're, like I said, we're growing. So you're not going to sit like you do at some of the regionals for long periods of time before you can even fly. You're moving pretty quickly. The guarantee is 70 hours. So you more than likely will get over 70 hours of flying on reserve. You know, you could be down in the 20s, 30s, 40s, depending on where we are at that month. But we're constantly moving, so you're not going to sit idle.
Well, there you have it, folks. Scott Hall, Avello Airlines at TPNX 2023. I'm excited to meet you in person, Scott. Yep. Thanks for joining me today. And all of you out there in TPN land, remember, if you don't have your tickets yet, go to thepilotnetwork.com/TPNX. You can still pick up tickets. They are limited in number, but they are still there. If you don't have the app downloaded, for those of you who've got your tickets and you're registered, it's tpnx.app. You can do it'll tell you what to do. Do that. And for everything else, hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. Matt or I or one of the staff will get back to you as soon as we can. And as always, keep the greasy side down, the shiny side up in the air. Fly safe, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes! Ah!